Greetings, warriors, veterans, and American-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Our nation is very sensitive to hate crimes now, but not against Jews. The FBI's annual report showed a decline in violence against Jews and the findings that are at odds with Jewish watchdog groups that say anti-Semitic crimes, hate crimes, have hit their highest levels in history during the past 2 years. The FBI's 2021 findings have sparked accusations that the federal law enforcement agency is deflating these statistics at a time when American Jewish community is facing unprecedented waves of anti-Semitism. At least one group is calling for Congress to investigate how and why the FBI has underreported anti-Jewish hate crimes. You know, my uncle was an FBI agent. I fear he's rolling over in his grave right now. The force is so warped, at least the leadership. Okay, joining us at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. How's January treating your family, Skip?
Well, Colonel, January is a pretty good month. We're half through it. I always love mid-January because it's like, gosh, I'm halfway through the winter, you know? And it's like when Groundhog Day gets here, I'm in Groundhog Heaven, you know, because it's like, wow, I'm going to make it through another winter.
Yeah, but the groundhog, you don't treat groundhogs very well, do you?
No, I don't. We have them for groundhog dinner because, you know, that's what you do on Groundhog Day, right? I'm looking forward to it, Colonel. I really am.
Okay, here's what we have for you today. A news and comments by the Colonel. I'm going to discuss Russia's future. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will discuss his warrant wisdom. Then Congressman and retired Marine General Jack Bergman will join us. Next, Army vet and senior businessman Ed Fuller will discuss terrorism that he's dealt with as a businessman, and we'll review the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really do welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments either through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom, and we'll start with the news, of course. Take us there, Skip. What's first?
Well, President Biden did visit the southern border. He went to El Paso, where the city cleaned up its sidewalks to make them ready for his visit. He did not see a single illegal alien, but he did get his picture taken at the border wall. President Biden halted border wall construction right after he took office, and many of those materials are rusting on the ground in some sectors of the border. While many still disagree about the purpose of a border wall, it is one of the many necessary tools to fully secure the border.
The president did not see a single issue at the border. He did talk to some Border Patrol officers, but it's unclear what they said to him. It's very clear that almost nothing happened that will have any impact on the crisis that is on our border.
Yeah, move along, folks. Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
The Pentagon has formally ended their COVID-19 mandate for our troops. Here is a statement by the Defense Secretary. Section 525 of the NDAA for the fiscal year 2023 requires me to rescind the mandate that members of the armed forces be vaccinated against COVID-19, issued in my August 24, 2021 memorandum. Mandatory coronavirus disease 2019 vaccination of Department of Defense service members. I hereby rescind the memorandum. The Pentagon also rescinded the same mandate for members of the National Guard and the Ready Reserve. The memo indicates that members of the armed forces who refuse the vaccine will not be allowed to experience any adverse actions if they requested reprieve based on religious liberty. The secretaries of the military departments will update the records of request, including letters of reprimand, and they will further cease any ongoing reviews of current service member religious, administrative, or medical accommodation requests solely for exemption from the COVID-19 vaccine or appeals of denials of such request.
This is an important step, but there's much more to do. For now, those previously dismissed for their refusals to take the vaccine will have the right to have their records updated and strike any negative language or characterizations. It is not clear if any member of the armed forces that were unfairly dismissed will have the right to return to service, but they should have that right. Stay tuned.
A new medical study from Harvard raises many questions about how mRNA vaccines might cause health problems for those who take the vaccine. The peer-reviewed study reviewed the health outcomes of 16 young adults or adolescents who ended up in Massachusetts General Hospital or Boston Children's with post-vaccination myocarditis from January 2021 to February 2022. All subjects have markedly elevated levels of full-length spike protein in their blood, unbounded by antibodies. The Harvard Medical School research team did not find the free-floating spike in 45 healthy, asymptomatic, age-matched vaccinated control subjects. These findings question the response of big tech and media organizations about the safety of the spike protein.
One wonders why that science has been ignored for so long. I'm glad the military requirement has been dropped, but how about the damage already done?
Federal air marshals are outraged because they are being sent to the southern border instead of acknowledging a verified air threat against the U.S. from Al-Qaeda. Department of Homeland Security sources said that Al-Qaeda says upcoming attacks on U.S., possibly involving planes, will use new techniques and tactics. Despite this threat, the Biden administration announced mandatory deployments to the border as a migrant surge continues to strain already worsening conditions amid staffing shortages. And since the border hasn't been declared a national emergency, it does not justify sending air marshals there for land monitoring when there is a bona fide air threat. The Air Marshal National Council issued a letter to Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, accusing the administration of ignoring a validated threat from Al-Qaeda.
The southern border is a huge threat to our nation's security, and the Al-Qaeda threat is a real threat. And our federal government is not taking either of them seriously. This is a real national catastrophe.
Former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev responded to an American effort to support anti-war protests in Russia with a call to put a Russian warship off of the American coast. Earlier this month, our embassy in Russia released a video it called An Appeal to the People of Russia. Quote, throughout history, our countries have been united by a common culture and our achievements. We believe that what is happening is not worthy of you, and we stand in solidarity with each of you who strive to create a more peaceful future, the video said. The video emphasized scientific and cultural partnerships between the U.S. and Russia and included former Soviet Union leaders such as Leonid Brezhnev, Mikhail Gorbachev, and Boris Yeltsin shaking hands with Americans. In a fiery response, Russia announced that the Admiral Gorshkov warship will conduct a voyage through the Atlantic and Indian Oceans and the Mediterranean Sea. Russia has said the ship is armed with Zircon hypersonic cruise missiles, one of Russia's most advanced weapon systems.
While Russia is falling apart internally, it is still very capable of attacking us or anyone else. We need to take this very seriously, but we don't seem to be.
Iran will dispatch warships to the Panama Canal this year. Iranian officials vowed in a sign that Tehran seeks to expand its military footprint far beyond the Middle East and into our backyard. Iranian Admiral Irani, the commander of the Iranian Navy, offered few details. The Islamic Republic's Navy units are getting closer to the coast of the Americas, said the opening of an article. Admiral Irani characterized the mission as part of Iran's plan to spread its fingerprints around the globe. The country's growing maritime capabilities should be utilized to pave the way for materializing the Islamic Iranian civilization, he said. He indicated that Tehran sees a much broader strategic effort to export its influence to the Americas.
Iran is the world's top supporter of terrorism and clearly hates us. We need to face them and confront any move like this that they make and do it while we're dealing with Russia's move. I'm not sure our Navy can handle all this. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check cv4a.org. That's cv4a.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with Congressman and retired General Jack Bergman. At ease, troops, take a break.
This is Lieutenant Colonel Retired John Barry, Managing Partner of Barry Law. For over 50 years, Barry Law has defended the rights of Americans, both on the battlefield and in the courtroom. We are committed to supporting our fellow service members. If you need help appealing your VA disability decision, find us at PTSDlawyers.com or call 888-883-2483.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your home defense tip of the week. Next time you upgrade to a new cell phone, don't throw your old one away. If your old phone can hold a charge, you can stage this phone for emergency use in a home defense situation. Every cell phone, whether on contract or not, has the ability to call 911. Keep an old phone in the glove box of your car as well as your safe room just in case. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com. We are fighting for the American farmer. U.S. only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com. Use your promo code FREEDOM and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. PatriotFoods.com. Promo code FREEDOM. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, did you know that American farmers are going out of business because people are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I eat it. I love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check PatriotFoods.com. That's PatriotFoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Historically, Russian leaders have always worried about their nation's ability to survive. Generally, they seem to feel that Russia must expand or die, and has certainly been expanding over the time. Many people living in what is now Russia are not of Russian origin, and they know that. The fear really grew when the Soviet Union collapsed at the end of 1991. You may recollect that they spent themselves to death. All their buffer colonies were gone, but Russia survived. At first, it seemed that it might end its dictatorship style of government, become more democratic, but that happened in name only. And now we see a horribly weak Russia, the weakness made visible by their invasion of Ukraine and their failure to defeat this much smaller country. Their military leadership and army are clearly incompetent, and the Russian people won't join their military and aren't supporting the war. Today, we see that Vladimir Putin, for all his concerns about the West wanting to dismember Russia as his excuse to attack Ukraine, may well be accelerating the very danger he used to justify his invasion. And despite the strategic discussions about possible nuclear exchange, such as how to arm Ukraine, red lines for Russia, and much more, little has been said about the 800-pound gorilla in the room. What if Russia's losses in Ukraine triggers a collapse of Russia itself? Should we be preparing for the collapse of the Russian government and nation? Alexander Model, a professor of political science at Rutgers, wrote on the case for Russia's impending implosion, saying the threat is growing daily. Quote, "In fact, the combination of a failed war abroad and a brittle, strained system at home is increasing the likelihood of some sort of implosion with every passing day." He adds, regardless of whether this will be good or bad for the West, it's an outcome policymakers should be preparing for, end quote. A very good point. Model suggests various scenarios of what might happen in Russia after its defeat in Ukraine becomes even clearer. Most likely is Russian President Putin's departure from office, followed by a vicious power struggle among, one, the extreme right-wing nationalists who want to continue the war effort and destroy the existing political hierarchy, two, authoritarian conservatives who have a stake in the system, and three, a resurgent semi-democratic movement committed to ending the war and reforming Russia. And there may be some other groups. We don't know who will win, but we can confidently predict that the power struggle will weaken the regime and distract Russia from what remains of its war effort. Well, the people in Ukraine will certainly like this. So, a weakened Ukraine plus a malfunctioning economy will invite disgruntled Russians to take to the streets, perhaps even with arms, and encourage some of the non-Russian political units comprising the Russian Federation to opt for greater self-rule. Leading candidates include several stans, plus Chechnya and Staha. Hey, why would they not at least want self-rule? hey, if Russia survives this, it's likely to become a weak client state of China. If it does not, the map of Eurasia could look very different, and China's influence would likely be significant. Given Russia's vast expanse, long history of resistive regions, and large non-Russian ethnicities, the one scenario that deserves much more attention is a disintegration of centralized control and the breakup of the Federation. There's a rich history of state collapse following wars, revolutions, system breakdowns, economic crises, and other major events. Napoleon's empire collapsed after his disastrous march on Moscow and subsequent defeat at the Battle of Leipzig. In 1918, at the end of World War I, the Ottoman, Austro-Hungarian, German, and Russian empires all collapsed, mostly in military defeat. Of course, people, decisions, and policies played a role, but ultimately it was the war and the attendant economic and social crises that pushed these states over the edge into political chaos and often violence. While Russia could still survive a loss in Ukraine, even Putin may be having doubts. In his 2023 New Year's address, he invoked, for the first time, the Ukraine war's potential threat to Russia's independence. So he clearly sees the problem. The bigger question should be, would a likely Russian collapse be chaotic and violent, including civil war? And how would that impact the rest of the world? And what specific Russian collapse and post-collapse scenarios should we be actually preparing for? Dare we just sit back and wait and see what happens? Even more strategic and transcendental questions are, what will China do? I hope our federal government is carefully watching what's happening and preparing for the likely outcomes. I have little hope that this is happening. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Front Lines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
A couple years ago, there was a video shared of an Army officer in Virginia who was non-compliant with police officers who then pointed their weapons, pepper sprayed him, and took him to the ground during a traffic stop back in December 2020. That Army lieutenant has sued the two police officers and just won a fraction of the $1 million he was actually asking for. Second Lieutenant Caron Nazario filed his lawsuit in April 2021 against two police officers in Windsor, Virginia, Joe Gutierrez and Daniel Crocker. Nazario argued that on December 5th, 2020, the two officers had illegally detained him and then lied about their actions in official reports about the incident. Nazario also accused Gutierrez of threatening to kill him. Well, this past Tuesday, a jury largely absolved both officers Gutierrez and Crocker for their conduct during the traffic stop. Jurors found that Crocker should pay $1,000 to, quote, serve as an example to prevent others from acting in a similar way. And Gutierrez should pay $2,685 as in damages for assaulting Nazario. Now, the police officer's attorneys state that the full picture of what really happened was not what was put out to the public in the video that went viral. In fact, it took them nearly a week to present the entire story. On the night of the incident, Nazario was driving a recently purchased Chevy Tahoe, which did not have permanent plates on it. After the police officers turned on their lights, Nazario decided to continue to drive and get to an area that was better lit before stopping. And because he didn't stop immediately, officers treated the stop as a high-risk traffic stop, or what they call a felony traffic stop. Video from Gutierrez's body camera shows that police officers told Nazario both to get out of the car and keep his hands out the window, which, of course, you can't do both. Nazario then asks, what's going on? And Officer Gutierrez replies, quote, what's going on is you're fixing to ride the lightning, son. Nazario's attorneys argue that ride the lightning is widely understood as being put to death in the electric chair, and he felt that the officer was threatening to kill him. Officer Gutierrez claims that he was trying to say he was going to use his taser. Now, when the video circulated online in April 2021, Sergeant Major of the Army, Michael Grinson, tweeted that Nazario had represented the Army well by remaining calm and professional during the encounter. As far as police officer Joe Gutierrez goes, he was fired from the Windsor Police Department due to the incident. And I'm guessing that Second Lieutenant Nazario is likely going to be seeking a new trial based on being awarded so little damages. I think it's going to be interesting to continue to follow this. For Front Lines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Straight ahead on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll talk with Congressman and retired Marine General Jack Bergman. Then we'll talk about terror with Army veteran and businessman Earl Fuller. and we'll discuss his books. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Start with 50, take a break and do another 50, then stand at ease. Troops, America has gotten more dangerous. If you're like me, you'll defend yourself and your family with a firearm if necessary. As right as this is, if it happens, experts recommend not talking to police without an attorney present. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield. They are the very best self-defense insurance that I've found. They provide unlimited attorney coverage as needed at a very reasonable price. Check uslawshield.com, uslawshield.com, and use the code FRONTLINES. That's one word, FRONTLINES. You'll be glad you did.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care.
We are leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted.
Our key to success?
You. We bring your voice to leaders calling the shots so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity.
Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show Congressman and former Marine General Jack Bergman. It's very clear that Jack didn't feel that his oath to support and defend the Constitution expired when he retired from the Marines, because he's working in numerous ways to keep our nation free and strong. Welcome back, Jack. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Denny, always great to be with you. And also, you know, thank you for continuing to communicate with all of our troops and all their families.
Well, there's an awful lot of good patriots out there, despite some of the junk that we hear about. Jack, start with a quick review of your time as a Marine. Why'd you join? What'd you do?
Well, it was 1966. So you know what was going on in 1966, watching the news, evening news, and in the beginning of the early beginnings of the buildup in South Vietnam. And I joined because I believed that it's our responsibility as citizens, wherever possible, to serve our country. And my dad had been in the South Pacific in World War II. You know, my mom was one of those who kept the home fires burning and kept all things going until World War II was over. So I was raised in a small town Midwest family that believed in service to our country, our community, of course, service to God and all of that. So that's the why. And flew helicopters in Vietnam, came back after a few years, got out of active duty, but stayed in the reserves. And fast forward some 20 plus years later, became a general officer, brigadier general in the late 90s. And then one star led to two stars, led to three stars. And my last command was Marine Corps Reserve, headquartered in New Orleans. And I also had all responsibilities for the Marine Corps, both active and reserve, to Northern Command in Colorado Springs. So 40 years, 1969 to 2009, and the opportunity to serve in so many different capacities has been a very fulfilling experience for me, and still is, to serve as a member of Congress amongst so many good people here. Wish more had some level of military experience. It might make our conversations easier when it comes to building an appropriate national strategy for defense and a budget to go along with it. And I mean, I'm just starting my fourth term in Congress. So I've been here 6 years. I'm in now year number seven.
And what committees are you on, or do you know yet?
Well, I do know that I am on, I will remain on Armed Services, and I will remain on Veterans Affairs, and we'll see how things work out. Now that we are back in the majority, there is the potential that I could get a third committee. And if that is granted, it would be, I will go back onto Budget Committee, because I believe, you know, when you think of a national security strategy, other than a physical peer competitor, which would be China, the second biggest challenge we have to our future is the national debt.
Jack, I really agree with that. And I'm surprised at how few people I talk to even mention it as something important. I mean, I don't remember what the numbers are, but it's like increased by 5 times in the past 4 years or something like that. That's outrageous. And it can't have a positive outcome, can it?
Well, it cannot. It cannot. And, you know, that if you all the way back to Alexander Hamilton, who really was responsible for building our financial system in our country, is that Hamilton believed that it was okay to take debt for the right reason. Usually that was for national defense. It was really, that was what he believed, but you needed to pay the debt off, not just continue to accumulate it. And we have been on a debt accumulation spiral here as the federal government for such a long time that we're in over our heads. And now how do we begin to put the rudder in that ship that will turn it around to stop with the wasteful spending that cannot continue?
Yes, sir. And when you got that debt, it's not that just that you have the debt, you're paying interest on it. And the more debt you have, the more interest you're paying. There's nothing complicated about that, is there?
No. And guess who's holding the debt? That'd be China. So not only are we paying interest, but we are paying China to be our adversary, if you think about that. And the Chinese are no dummies. You know, if you read history, back when they put out their 100-year plan in 1949, thereabouts, you know, that 100 years, you know, comes up here in 2049. So we're not that far away from their realization of their 100-year plan.
So interest on the debt is probably what's paying for the aircraft carriers they're building now? Or, I mean, who knows how they spend the money, but...
They've got cash flow based upon what we're paying them. So, yes.
Well, I am glad that you're raising the flag on that, because my goodness. And yes, it's going to be tough figuring out what to cut, and it's going to make people unhappy, but it won't make 2 generations from now unhappy. It'll give them something to look forward to. I think that's a fair statement, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, when you think about it, I'll use an example. And we'll keep it a military example, but let's say that you have a weapons platform. And for this case, you could say it's a ground vehicle, it's an airplane, whatever it is. You have legacy systems that you might have put into service 10, 20, 30 years ago that you have already completed the design and the testing for a new platform, a next gen is what the common phrase is used now, next generation of that technology to put into place. So how do you make the transition where you stop funding the legacy platform and then make the transition to the next generation platform? And in some of those cases, you can see a lot of waste to fund a program that no longer needs to be funded. That I believe in the case of the Defense Department and other entities, we can really gain some advantages by focusing on stopping with the funding of legacy programs that have passed their service life. Okay.
So it sounds to me what you're saying is we need somebody who doesn't have any political interest, but is just plain a good economist to come in and say, why are we spending money there?
Yeah, I mean, and pretty much because the numbers, if you shine the light on them, it is very obvious, and you can do some good, accurate calculations. The challenge becomes when you have an entity, maybe a member of Congress, who has a factory in their district, who likes making these old parts that are sitting on a shelf somewhere, You know, that's not, now you get into the politics of things, and that's where we, as the House, are going to have to make some tough decisions. That you can't tell all your kids, for example, everybody gets an ice cream cone or everybody gets $5. No, it's time for this one to get it or that one to get it. And those are tough family decisions. Those are tough business decisions, but good businesses do it. But government is not a business. It's a governing body. And therein lies part of the challenge. So that's why guys like me and others have to step up and make the tough cuts without cutting our ability to defend ourselves and also bring on new technology.
Yes, sir. There's lots more to discuss about the challenges facing our nation, and Jack's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, thanks for joining us for push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, most days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. General Bergman and I will be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Congressman and retired Marine General Jack Bergman. Jack, in general speaking, is our military in good shape? We're spending a lot of material to Ukraine. Are we replacing it? I guess there's two questions. Do we have the materials, equipment, planes, stuff we need? And do we have good leadership, in your perspective?
The short answer is, the turnover of the inventory that has been going to the Ukraine is a positive in many ways. We, as those responsible for managing the overall inventory of the national defense, you know, inventory in the depots or wherever it's being stored, we always have to watch that. At this point, I am not concerned for our safety here as the United States, because we are, you know, we're not going to run out of ammo. But like, again, any good entity, you look at your stocks that you have, you look at the age of your inventory, you look at all of those things, and what are the munitions that are coming online that are, I'll just say, more technical than those of some of the stockpiles that we have sent to Ukraine. But we need to be aware of managing the inventory going forward. So we keep a close eye on that here, because we're not going to sacrifice our ability to defend ourselves. But this is an opportunity. You know, in some ways, we are defending ourselves by ensuring that Ukraine survives against the Russian aggression and onslaught.
Yes, sir. I certainly agree with that. Okay. We've already mentioned China in our conversation. Let's talk about China. They are, I don't think there's any doubt, the biggest threat of any kind, military threat. And they've invaded our nation, not militarily, but 1,000 different ways, haven't they?
Well, they have. And, by the way, I want to clarify one thing. When we talk about China, we are not talking about the Chinese people. We are talking about the Communist Party government, the CCP, okay?
Yes, sir. Totally agree.
This is not about This is not about the Chinese people. In fact, they're being oppressed by their government. You've seen it for the last, you know, now going on 3 years with the COVID lockdowns and all the different things. And the Chinese Communist Party is an oppressive, authoritarian regime who really doesn't care about its people. And you've seen that recently in the protests that we've had a glimpse of, but they have the ability to lock down their entire country when it comes to the outside world being able to view what's going on. It's almost medieval, you know, in some ways, if you were to compare it to a days when, you know, there was no technology, no eyes on from above, no internet. But if they would do it to their people, why wouldn't they do it to other people, to include the United States? But they're sly and sneaky in the ways that they've done it. Think of the Belt and Road Initiative, where now other countries, you use the Panama Canal as an example. You go down there and you're going to see not only the Chinese influence, but the Chinese ownership. That type of inroads into a strategic infrastructure piece, such as the Panama Canal, cannot be overstated. And in Djibouti, in the Horn of Africa, the Chinese built a naval base right next to our American base in Djibouti. And by the way, it was some of my troops that built that base in Djibouti back in 2005 when they did a whole remodel of Camp Le Monnier. But the Chinese government, the Communist Party, has been very strategic in how they view their control of the world. Think about in the Western Pacific, their agreements with some of the islands, the governments over there. They have not slowed down their efforts to gain influence and power and control over other countries.
I totally agree with you on that, sir. And they've got a lot going for them, but they also have some internal problems, don't they? They're starting to run out of people, aren't they?
Well, they are. Think of the birth rate. And they were limited to one child. And they do have birth rate demographic challenges. And but it's by design, based upon their view of how they wanted to control their population.
Yes, but I'm not sure that they were planning on where they are now. Are there other issues besides that? Nothing is perfect. Nothing.
Well, the other issue I think that we need to look at closely here is the high numbers of Chinese nationals going to college and universities here in the United States. Number one, we're exporting the intellectual capabilities of the individual by having a young Chinese person, citizen, get their degree and their advanced degrees here in the U.S. and then leaving. But also what the Chinese Communist Party has done is they've made it one of their major efforts to steal intellectual property. They don't care. They're not morally bound based upon their beliefs as a Chinese Communist Party government. They are morally bankrupt in our terms when it comes to their willingness and ability and continued efforts to steal the advances in technology, all of the different intellectual property. You could get into all the, whether it be bio area, whether it be, you name the technologies, chip technologies. Part of their plan is to steal it, rather than our plan as a country of being tremendously innovative and inventive and putting the money into research. They figure that they can save that money and just capitalize on it by stealing it from us. I mean, that's their plan. And it's very soft and it's not aggressive to the naked eye, but it's there and it's hurt us.
And it is certainly true that the students that are over here are controlled by their government. They're not over here as free people seeking to grow in some kind of way and maybe even stay here. They are controlled by their government. That makes this thing work pretty easy, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And we as Americans make three basic mistakes when we're dealing with other countries. Number one, we think they have the same values as we do. Number two, we think they have the same goals as we do. And number three, we think they like us. Those are three basic mistakes that we as American society, who is kind of sheltered in a lot of ways to the ways of the world, let's face it, different countries have different goals. Different countries have different values. Different countries, you know, and let's face it, there are some folks who just don't like us.
Yep. And that's true. Cultures are different. Jack, we're about out of time. Before I let you go, you host something called the Guardian Fund, which is a PAC. And I know that you seek to use it to help get the right people into Congress. Talk for a minute about that.
Yeah, well, thanks, Danny. Guardian Fund was started by Lieutenant Colonel and former Congressman Alan West over a decade ago. The goal of Guardian Fund is to help conservative veterans and minorities get elected to Congress. I chaired the Guardian Fund last cycle. I'm going to chair it again this cycle for the next 2 years, but we raise money and then allocate it to conservative veterans and minorities to help them get elected. And we've had some very good success in the last couple of years and even before that. But I would encourage all of your listeners to consider if they're going to contribute to political campaign entities. The Guardian Fund, we've focused the funds that we are graced to have collected from contributors, donors. We focus them on good conservative veterans and minorities who are running in districts that they can actually win. Now, you never win 100%, but by golly, we've got a good track record going here, and that's what the Guardian Fund is, and we appreciate everybody considering it.
Guardianfund.org?
Yeah, it's you just put Guardian Fund, and it'll pop right up.
Thank you. I do contribute to it. Jack, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation in uniform. Thank you for what you're doing now. I'm glad we're friends.
Hey, thank you, my friend. And, enjoy every day that God has graced us with on this earth. So, proud to have you as a friend, Denny.
Amen. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with veteran Ed Fuller about terrorism. Then we'll discuss the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for jumping jacks. Do 50 good ones, grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send us your thoughts by email or on Facebook.